It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Nothing going on here in Montlake the last couple of weeks, so it's been quiet for you guys, so welcome back from your vacation, and it's good to see everybody as we get rolling. Obviously, there's a lot going on, and I appreciate you guys coming out here today for a little luncheon. Next year, we'll step it up. We'll do hot food next year. Be able to spend a little more time with you guys, but I'm glad we're able to do a little lunch and spend some time together before we start spring ball. It has been a crazy, let's call it 2 months. I think it was January 15th when I was hired. And then from that point on, I think Coach Carroll on the 16th or 17th and all the way through. I think Steve came in that next week. Or the week after, and then we were really rolling come February 1st as a staff, and then it's 6 weeks later, and we're starting spring ball on Monday, 7 weeks later. So it's been a whirlwind. During that time, we've had an athletic director change. During that time, we've had a basketball coach change, and we've had an enormous roster turnover. We're now at, I believe, 79 scholarship players as of this moment. When I arrived, it was 49. So we have been able to increase the number up to 30. I'm sure there'll be a lot of change this final go around with the transfer portal opening up April 15th and closing April 30th. But we'll deal with that when the time comes. We love being here. This has been a fantastic ride thus far of 7 weeks of hard work, of learning our team, of learning our players, of learning really about the University of Washington, how we do things, how we get to where we want to be. And what's been great is the amount of support that we've received from the alumni and from the donors and from the administration. The president has been amazing. Her and I have spent a lot of time together down in Palm Desert. We spent time together out in other events that we've had throughout the area. Been able to be really meeting a lot of our donors. Coach Carroll, Coach Belichick, and I and our staff were down there a week ago, and we saw the amazing support of the dogs in the desert. So we're really excited. Our staff is outstanding. And you're only as good as your coaching staff as a head coach, and you're only as good as your players as a coaching staff. And it's our job to continue to build up our players, to develop the team that we want to develop, coach the players, and the best we possibly can. I told the team last night, or yesterday afternoon, we got done with a team event, and I said, you know, every team at this point in time is being told the same thing. They're being told if they work extremely hard, if they get a part, if they want to be involved in special teams, they need to be involved in special teams. If they give incredible effort in the weight room, if they do things right off the field, they'll have a chance to win a championship. Every team is being told that. Every team, every head coach is taking out the head coach manual and say, okay, what do I tell my team in spring? And I have to tell them that. And, you know, if successful people and unsuccessful people have the same goals, then what's the differential, right? It's what the people do with those goals. And our team has to embrace the challenge of working harder than they ever thought they would. They have to embrace the challenge of becoming a pro in everything we do as a team. And then we have to embrace all of the personalities of our team and let them be them. And let's see if we can be the type of football team that we all aspire to be, which is a championship team. So spring ball begins Monday. Tuesday, we believe, will be our first practice. Just working through a couple things right now. If it'll be Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll let you know that here soon. But every other date that you have will be correct. So this week will be the only week that's up in the air about Tuesday or Wednesday. Outside of that, we'll be going Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday throughout the month, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the last week. Dogs in the Dogs After Dark is Friday night, May 3rd, I believe it is. And they said they have never had 30,000 people at the spring game, so the goal is 40. The goal is 40,000 for this spring game. And we're going to do everything we can to pump it up, to push it out there, and to have an incredible environment on that Friday evening. So I do want to just end this by just introducing the two coordinators to you. We haven't had a chance to have you meet with our staff. The month of April, each one of our coaches will be assigned a date for you to sit down or for you to talk with them after practice. But today I thought it was really important that the two coordinators were here. I am personally extremely fortunate to have Steve and Brennan as our two coordinators. both guys I've worked with in the past. Brennan and I have gone back to 2011 together. We've known each other since 2010 when I was in Seattle the last time. But the fact that BC and I have been at Miami together when I was coaching the quarterbacks and coordinating and he was coaching the tight ends, then he was coaching the receivers. Then we got together again when we were in Tucson, and he was coaching the offensive line and coordinating. The experience that we have together, coaching all the different positions and being with one another, has enabled a seamless transition here in Montlake. And not only is he a great coach, a great person, a great family guy, but the key is that our families are one. And there's a constant. Usually when you see one of my daughters, you'll see one of his kids right next to him. And that's what makes things so special. When it comes to Coach Belichick, Steve and I worked together in 2020 when I had the opportunity to coach in New England for his dad. And he was at that time calling the defense and coaching the linebackers. The safeties at that time, I believe it was, and then started coaching the outside linebackers and was the play caller there for 4 years. If you watch the way the Patriots defense have played, there is good or the best defense over that period of time in the NFL. And Steve's wife, Jen, and my wife, Amber, became very close, even though it was during that time of COVID, that it was mostly through FaceTime and phone calls that you became close. And then I had a chance to spend almost every summer since then out there with him on a vacation. So really important to get these two guys with us. They're two fantastic people, two great football coaches, and every player that's at University of Washington now has an opportunity to learn from two of the best coaches on their side of the ball. And every recruit that wants to come here is going to have a chance to both learn from Coach Carroll and Coach Belichick and be surrounded by what I would say two of the greatest football minds that are out there in college football right now. So really excited. Let Brennan say a couple things and then Steve, and then we'll take it to questions after that.
Yeah, thanks, Jed. That was a fantastic intro. Appreciate you. It's great to be back in the Pacific Northwest. Got to spend a lot of time at a six-year run up here in Seattle. The thing that really stood out to me is that the fan base that's in the Pacific Northwest. Fantastic people that love their sports, love to support their programs, and I'm just really excited to get back and get in front of these fans and hopefully put a great product in front of them. So I'm really happy to be back. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, just excited to be out here. Excited to be in the college football world. Never coached in college, but coach football, and that's what I'm here to do. Develop these guys. Jay gave me an opportunity, and I'm going to run with it. And yeah, see how it goes. Came a long way. Not close to Boston, but welcoming so far and happy to be here.
Go ahead, buddy. Jed, you mentioned the head coach handbook. Is there such a thing as a head coach handbook? But I do want to take you back to when you started in Tucson. Is this any bit similar to that, or is this totally off the reservation what you've had to go through to start a program with your head?
Yeah, you know, it's so different. Yeah. It was such a different time. When we got to Tucson, we were still coming out of COVID, so there were some of the regulations that were extremely unique. The team was coming off of a 12-game losing streak, not a 14-1 season. The last game that the team played before we arrived, they lost by 63 points to ASU. And we had a roster that was down in the dumps, didn't feel confident, felt like it was a really hard situation that they lived through for 2 years of losing, because the losing streak, you know, went on almost two full calendar years, because they only played five games in 2020 and then they lost the last seven in 2021. So there was a lot of work that had to be done to rebuild the roster, rebuild the personality of the team. There wasn't a commitment to winning at that point in time in Tucson. We had to change that. The support from the donors, we had to reestablish. The support from alumni, we had to bring back. And that was our mission there. And then we had to recruit a great class to be able to turn the program around. When we got here, coming off 14 wins, playing in the national championship, five 10-win seasons in 8 years. Arizona had three 10-win seasons in 100 years prior to our season last year. So the difference in the job is incredible. It's black and white when it comes to so many parts of it. But then, as we sit in the staff room, there's so many similarities, because you're still teaching how you want to run your program and the culture that we want to bring and what we want our players to speak about and be about and how we want to practice. So we have to remind ourselves that these guys aren't just continuing on in, you know, the championship form that they were in. I mean, obviously 21 of the starters are gone, so that's one part of it. But also, everything that we would have done in Tucson year four is not an option anymore. So we're back to year one in when it comes to teaching the system.
Brandon, we just got done, a lot of folks in this room, covering your dad for 15 years. How are you kind of similar to him? How are you different than him? And Steve, same question for you, Becker Fowler.
Philosophically, we're going to share a lot of the same beliefs, you know, and one of his main beliefs is, you know, be yourself. And so there are going to be some differences there, for sure. I'm and my mother's son, so Glenna, shout out. So, yeah, there's going to be great energy when you see us out running around on the field. Our team's going to be competitive as hell. And this is really excited to get going in spring ball get into battle against this team over there a little bit. We'll go back and forth a little bit. So there's going to be competition across the board.
Steve, how about you?
When you were at Arizona,
we definitely have similarities. I got a job and he doesn't. he knows that. I look up to my dad. He's a mentor to me, but I'm myself. And like BC said, excited to get out on the field and work with these guys and work with the kids and recruit kids. And that's kind of just going to be myself. I'm not going to try and be him.
Jed, your vision, your business plan, your blueprint when you were at Arizona, and then you come up here, I'm sure you tweaked it and adjusted it. How is it going to be different here, and what are you doing different here than Arizona?
The first part of the business plan is raise NIL money, and that's not getting tweaked. The way things are headed right now in college football, you need incredible donor support. And the business plan of being able to take care of these kids is critical. That hasn't changed. The biggest part of what we did as a program was we are a player-centric program. Everything we're going to ask for, everything we're going to do is how do we help our players be successful? And what does that mean? It means we want to have the best weight room we can have. We want to have the best strength and conditioning coaches we can have. We want to have the best training room. We want to be able to have the state of the art when it comes to the technology and the science involved in taking care of players. We want to invest every part of our program into the player. And when you're an NFL coach, you learn that. You learn that what it comes down to is how are you going to treat the players? The players get to choose you in the NFL once the draft is over, okay? You have to treat every opportunity in recruiting as you have to get them to choose you now. They have to choose you now. And you have to show them that what you're going to do is you're going to provide for them an opportunity in a manner that they have never been provided for before. And that's through development. That's through every aspect of sports science, player wellness, player welfare, how they eat, how they sleep, how they act, how they walk, how they talk, what they live in terms of facilities. And we have to make that special. The blueprint we had in terms of competition and winning will not change. Competition's a central theme of our program. And we're going to take very much pride in that. There is no depth chart because there is no depth chart. When there is a depth chart, we will certainly pass it out to you guys. But right now, we expect the 79 scholarship players, the 21 walk-ons that are in this program, to go out there next Tuesday or Wednesday at the first practice and give every single thing they have to get involved and to be a part of this football team. So really, our blueprint is pretty simple. We need to raise money to be able to provide for our players. We need to provide for our players in every way the university is allowing us to do so. And that's through strength conditioning, training room, recovery room, and really every other aspect that touches the player. And then we have to have a competition every day, all day long, in how to become the very best we can be.
Yeah, when you open up.
Reaction to Troy Dannon leaving and now also to Pat Chung's hire as well.
Yeah. Obviously, things change constantly in this landscape of college athletics. I don't think I spent enough time with Troy to even have a reaction at that. I'm happy for Troy. I wish Troy the absolute best at the University of Nebraska. The conversation he had with me when he hired me and he hired our coaching staff was one in which he told me about how great University of Washington was. And that's what I respected about Troy and respect about Troy. Troy didn't sell Troy. Troy sold the university. Troy sold Montlake. Troy sold the history. Troy sold the alumni. And Troy was right. Family decisions come into play, and we all have those. And I've had numerous jobs myself. So it is what it is there, and I wish him the absolute best. And I think that he's going to be great. With that being said, had a great conversation with Pat, couple great conversations with Pat. And partnership is critical. And nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The commitment of becoming an elite Big Ten school is what our commitment is. And we understand there are some challenges early on with the half share that we have to that we have. And we're going to do everything we can to bridge that, whether that be through the university, whether that be through alumni, whether that be through donors. We're going to have to get that bridged as we go on. But Pat understands that. He understands the landscape of college football. He's been on every single committee. And I'm really excited about working together with Pat and also our new head basketball coach. He seems like a dude. And that's going to be a lot of fun to do this thing together. Tommy Lloyd and I got there together 3 years ago. And we were the only team in the country that finished in the top 10 in both football and basketball. And our goal is to do the same thing here at Washington.
When you open spring practice next week, will the biggest challenge be putting together a couple offensive lines? And who would be a center? I mean, I look at your roster and I don't even remember any of those guys being a center before. Is that the biggest challenge, is working with that unit?
Yeah. It is. I saw Coach Harbaugh say something today, which I thought was amazing. He said, the only position that relies on nobody else in football is the offensive line position. That every other position in football relies upon another position group. The receivers rely upon protection and the quarterback. The linebackers rely upon how the defensive line plays. The corners rely upon the pass rush, however you want to look at it. And as he said, even the defensive line, they rely on the offensive line to stay on the field longer, so they have to play less reps. So it is a critical position for us. And what we have to do is we have to develop that position with the 12 guys that we have, the 10 guys that are healthy right now, and then use the transfer portal to our to be successful next season. And Brennan can speak to you about exactly the center situation, but I think he'll tell you that we're training a bunch of them.
Our first meeting, I walked in and asked who plays center, and a couple guys raised their hand and said, that's not right. Everybody put your hand up, we're all playing center. We just wanted to try out some guys, and we have about 4 or 5 guys that can all kind of make that transition. Those guys have been working on their own for a little bit now. So Zach Henning's going to get a shot at it. Parker Cross has been here. Michael LeBeau Watkins, you see those guys in practice. But we had Guard and Landon, who have both had some experience with in the past. They're both injured right now. So we've got some good depth there. They're just not all healthy right now. So we're just working through that and make it look like football.
Jed, going back to the AD situation, you had the same one throughout your entire time at U of A. In the current landscape of college athletics, how important is not just having continuity between head football coach and AD, but also just being aligned about certain things?
Yeah, I think that one of the greatest parts of working with Dave at the University of Arizona is that we were on the same page on everything we did. We would have our discussions, there'd be some give and take, and then we'd walk out of the room and we'd be fully aligned. And most of the time we're fully aligned even when we walked into the room. I would expect the same thing with Pat. We all have the same mission. The mission is to provide players the greatest opportunity to get an unbelievable degree from the University of Washington and be developed as the best person and football player they possibly can be. As long as you have that mission, how you get there is most of the time just semantics, and most of the time there's just different ways maybe of going about it. But I think that right now, guys that want to be guys and ladies and men that want to be athletic directors, they understand the mission. They understand what has to happen, and they're very much involved in it. And Pat's going to be one of those that understands what needs to get done. And I'm sure I'll work hand in hand extremely close with Pat to make sure we do it together.
Got a question for Steve. I'm curious, just when you make the move and roster construction is so much different here and it's changing every day, it feels like, in terms of how you bring players and how you bring in groups, all that kind of stuff. What has been the biggest surprises for you getting here where it's such a different world? What have been the things that you expected, didn't expect, positive, negative? What have been the biggest things that have hit you in the time that you've been here so far?
I'll tell you, probably FaceTime in high school kids has been new. I've never done that before. Didn't have that when I was in high school and have had no reason to do it since. So that was different. But in terms of the roster, we just want players who want to be here, who want to compete, and those are the guys I want to coach. So we'll figure out ways to find them. I'm going to lean a lot on Jed, the rest of the defensive staff, and everybody else in the program to bring me along. It's been new, but got a job to do and figure out a way to do it.
Do you feel natural FaceTiming high school kids yet, or is that going to take some time?
No, not at first, no. But, I could talk to people, so just get over the mental block that I was FaceTiming high school kids, and then we're just talking.
Steve, did you consider coaching in college ever before this last offseason?
I just like to coach, so I didn't really have like an agenda or anything like that. It was just kind of, this was the best opportunity for me. I appreciate Jed giving me a shot, and I didn't really, now I'm just thinking about coaching here at Washington. So just, I'm not trying to dodge the question, but I just kind of go with what you got.
Steve, over your time in New England, you asked your guys to do a lot of different things. It would be Jabril Peppers, Jelani Tavai, Josh Uche. And it was one of the more complex schemes in terms of the NFL. What parts of that are you going to be able to bring here to Seattle, to the college game?
We'll find out. I'm excited to find out. Excited to work with these players. And the scheme will fit them. So whatever they're good at, then that's what we'll do.
You said 79 scholarship players. That's a couple more than I had on count. Are there any guys other than Drew that you added, any walk-ons that you added to scholarship?
No. I think Drew was the only walk-on that we added to scholarship. So it might have been some of the new high school kids that just arrived or haven't arrived yet, but it'll be here June 1. I don't know if we're counting guys like I think we're counting everybody. They might not all be participating in spring ball. But the 79 would count everybody that's coming in from the Charlie Crowells to the Hilkemas and everybody else involved there.
Steve, back to Mike's question about coming to college. How is the difference in evaluating high school talent to college versus college talent to the NFL? And how do you use your time in the NFL to kind of identify guys in high school and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you draft guys in the NFL, you're projecting what they're going to be, not what they are, and what you can do once you start to coach them and stuff. So it's the same mindset where we're watching high school kids or guys in the portal, whatever it is, and we're projecting what they can do when they get here. So try not to overthink it, and that's the path.
Just one or two more, please.
Jed, talk about a lot of coaches are hesitant to just put goals out there, but you've said already you want the best recruiting class that Washington's ever seen. You just told us 15 minutes ago that we've never had 30,000 for spring game, we want 40,000. Talk about why you like to put those out there.
Well, if you don't set goals, what are you going to achieve? So, our plan, we don't keep every goal. We don't make every goal public, and we don't keep every goal private. I would say that our program is a transparent program. I believe that our program is all of our program. Like, we want Seattle to feel an ownership of the University of Washington. They don't necessarily all have to have been alumni to want to be a part of our program. And our goal, Seattle is the most incredible city. I was talking to some recruits yesterday on FaceTime. And one of the things that I was telling them is I said, you look around, there's Alaska Airlines right here in town. There's Amazon right here in town. There's Microsoft. There's REI. There's Costco. And there's so many Starbucks, right, that are all here in town. Like, no one else can offer that. No one else can offer that. No one else anywhere else of our competition. And what an amazing thing it is to be able to put it out there to them. Like, the amount of Boys and Girls Clubs that we have in this area, what an amazing opportunity it would be to get our players invested in them and let those kids come to our games, come to our spring game, come to our the amount of wealthy people in Seattle. How amazing would it be to get them more invested in our program? That would just help us win more games. That would help us be on the front page of every college football magazine. And that's what the goal is. So we have a chance to get Seattle to be involved in our program. We want Seattle to be involved in our program. And the only way to do that is to let them know what we want to do. We want to have the best recruiting class that UW's ever had. Well, to do that, that's going to take a financial commitment. That is going to take a time commitment. And that is going to take a fan base commitment. And we ask them to join us in that. If I told them I wanted to have the 30th best class, then I think everybody would just go to the next tweet to read. So might as well tell them we want to have the best one. And same with attendance and same with wins. Our goal is to win. That is our goal. That doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. But one thing that I learned from Coach Carroll when I was at the Seahawks was that, there was a philosophy of, do you want to win the NFC West or do you want to own the NFC West? And I'm sure all of you who have covered Pete over the years, you've heard him say that. The goal is to own it. If you own it, you have a chance to win it every year. And that's what we're looking to do. When the time is right, when the opportunity comes, I've surrounded myself with winners. I've surrounded myself that grew up with mentors that are winners. Our program is going to have the privilege to have guys. Coach Belichick will be here at our clinic next weekend. He'll spend 5 days with our team. He'll be around our team. He'll be around our staff. Coach McDonald is going to be at our clinic. John Schneider is going to be at our clinic next weekend. I'm sure Coach Carroll will be out at spring practice. I know that Coach McVay is planning to come up here. All of these guys want to be a part of our program. We ask them to be a part of our program, and all of that is because we set that out there to every recruit and every player that we have, that they come here, they're going to be trained and treated right.
Are you going to have morning or afternoon practices?
We'll be in the afternoon from this point forward.
How late?
As long as I'm here. 3:30 p.m., I believe. 3:45 will be the practice. And that practice will go from 3:45 till 5:45, 6 o'clock, somewhere in that range. We don't kick off in the morning ever, so we'll never practice then.
Steve, real quick. It sounds like once the practice is actually started, you're going to have more of a kind of a roving presence, and you're going to be kind of going position to position, drill to drill, what have you. I'm just curious what you've told the players to expect, and also kind of your own thoughts about what you hope to accomplish by doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to be doing during practice. I'll be out there, but I'll, bounce around or stay with a group or work with guys on the side, whatever I feel like is best to get the job done. And that's what I tell the players, is just like we've talked about up here, we're here to get them better. And so however I need to get them better, that's what I plan to do.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you guys out of practice. Thank you.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.